Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Richard Adams and Pastor Tim Reed. Join us as we look into the book of Luke.
And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. I'm glad you're tuned in today, and I hope that you've got your cup of coffee and you got your Bible and you're open to the book of Luke, chapter 23.
You know, it's the big E. It's
Ooh,
here,
man. Big E.
Telling you, baked potatoes, fried butter, all sorts of horrible food. I mean, great food.
And those of you that enjoy the Big E, you better make your plans on going.
I'm telling you.
Starts on Friday. If this is a Sunday, you missed a few days,
yeah,
right?
You've missed opening day, but hey, there's still plenty of days. Lots of good stuff happening at the Big E.
There's a lot of good things, actually, at the Big E. It just takes a long time to get to see them all. And yeah, there's so many great deals when you go through some of those houses and some of those places that they have. And they do have that that butter statue there. They always have these things that are carved out of butter. They have all carved out of butter. I'm just absolutely amazed that they do that kind of stuff.
You know, the human mind can come up with some incredible things. Carving butter. You know, was one that I've never thought of before.
Yeah. No, but it has to be air conditioned, actually, because butter melts. But I honestly do enjoy watching those great big horses pulling things, and the Clydesdales always so wonderful. And the Clydesdales are always good because it's right close to the cream puff place where you can buy those cream puffs, and those cream puffs are wonderful.
There's certain things in life that you gotta, you've got to experience, and if you've never experienced it, you know, the Big E, go for it.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But we have the Big B here, the Big Bible, it's opened up.
That's it.
And we're in chapter 23 of the book of Luke, and we're reading from verse number 44, and we're talking about the death of Jesus, which is, it's kind of a sad thing, but yet it's a glorious thing.
Yeah. You know, we look at it 2,000 years later, and obviously we look at it from a different vantage point than when it was happening at that moment. At that moment, the people that experienced this, the crucifixion, the beating, all that happened to them, they had a little bit different emotion than we do, because we look at it and we realize the joy that it brings us.
Yeah, if you've watched any of the movies, even Mel Gibson's movie about the death of Jesus, you know, I mean, it is a horrible, horrible sight. But we're reading it in black and white and a little bit of red letters, but we're reading it, and it still touches our hearts today.
It sure does.
It says in verse number 44, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour." Wow. So that's 3 hours of darkness that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. You know, an eclipse of the sun. We experienced an eclipse just a few weeks ago. But here, this was like something supernatural in the skies that took place.
So when this happens, it says, "For the sun stopped shining." Now, that's a pretty interesting thing, because it says the sun stopped shining. So I have to ask myself, is this literal? Does this literally mean that the sun shut down for 3 hours? No. I don't think that's what it means. But yet, some people would say, well, if you're going to be literal, you got to be literal about it. It says the sun stopped shining. It could mean that it stopped shining on the earth. It was shining above the earth, but there was something between it and the sunshine. I think that's probably right. Right. I don't think the sun actually stopped.
Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so. So anyway, and it says here, the next thing that happened, the curtain of the temple was torn in two.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, you've been to Jerusalem. You've heard, and I obviously I've heard and read things about this. This is an incredible feat to happen because of the fabric, because of how it was stitched together, and to go from top to bottom.
Yep, impossible.
It's an incredible thing, yeah.
It was an impossible task for humanly someone to tear it in two. Some people say it was almost 6 inches thick.
Wow.
And it was, like you say, interwoven with different kinds of fabrics, and it was impossible. Possible to tear this thing in two. You might be able to say, well, okay, you look how sometimes you weave something together. Well, maybe it would come apart that way, but not up the top to bottom.
Yeah.
It was totally amazing. And what's amazing to me, it says it was torn in two. Yeah. And I like what Matthew says, because Matthew says that when the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus on his baptism, it said that heaven was torn in two. It was torn open. So it was like now heaven. We have access to heaven, the Holy Spirit. We have access to the will of God. We have access to heaven itself. And that's pretty powerful, because this is what happened. The temple was torn in two. Now man had access to God.
That's the exciting thing. You know, sometimes we read sentences and, wow, the temple, the curtain was torn. But what does that mean?
Right.
And like you said, it opened up access for you and for me to stand before a holy God. How? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed by his death. And this definitely had ramifications for the Jewish people. They get it. They understood.
Oh, they understood.
That curtain kept them from the Holy of Holies, that holiest place where only the high priest could go in.
Once a year.
And so if you read the book of Hebrews, which we've read in previous studies, but if you go back and read the book of Hebrews, you find out exactly what this sentence means. And it's so exciting for us to be able to stand in the presence of a holy God.
Yeah, it is. And this was a symbolic I guess you'd say for us, it was a symbolic gesture, or it was a visual gesture of the now that we do have this open heaven. We have this openness to God. And the same thing that happened when Jesus was baptized in water, the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit came, it was torn open. And now you have, like a lot of preachers say, you have an open heaven.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's impossible. You simply can come to the Lord.
It's awesome.
And Jesus calls out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Whoa. Yeah. So the heavens are open at his baptism, but now we find once again this temple is being opened up. Now the heavens are opened. Now we find that this earthly representative is open now too.
Yeah.
And it's pretty powerful here. And then Jesus says, "Now I give my spirit to you." So Jesus rises up into the heavens.
Wow. You know, it's so cool. He in previous verses earlier in his ministry, he says, I'm going to lay my life down and I'm going to pick it back up again. He chose the moment of his death.
That's powerful.
He's the only one, I think, that could really do that, to say, okay, here's when I'm going to die. Here, you know, and him and the Father working in tandem, he comes back to life again, which is really cool. But this moment right here, he gave up himself, sacrificed himself for you and for me.
Voluntarily gave his life, just gave his life, and went to be with the Father immediately. Yeah. And when he had said this, he breathed his last.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing to me that he knew exactly when he was going to die. He knew exactly, and he breathes his last. I mean, he said, one last sentence, "Breathe my last." That's it. I mean, it's not like you say it and then you live for half a day.
Right.
You know, something happens to me, that's what I say. Right. I might breathe my, but I'm not going to say it just before I breathe my last. Right. It's pretty amazing.
Exactly.
He knows exactly what's going on.
And what's, you know, what's so beautiful about it is the great love that he shows for us here in all of this, that he, in this moment, he took our penalty. He took our pain. We should be the ones on the cross. He did not deserve to die. He did not have to die because he led a sinless life, and yet he gave his life.
Yeah.
And it's once again, like you said, it's a horrible moment when you look at it. You know, the pain, the suffering that he went to. But it's a beautiful moment. The two of them are intermingled.
Pretty amazing, truthfully. And the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Didn't recognize that he was God, but he does recognize that God was certainly with him.
Right.
He was a righteous man.
Yeah.
And the centurion, seeing this, you know, centurion is a leader of this a bunch of men.
Right. Yep.
And when he sees this, he praised God. I think that's pretty amazing, really.
Yeah. A Roman soldier praising God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm wondering if this might be the same one that in Paul's day, the centurion comes and he accepts the Lord, and his family is saved.
Cornelius,
and everybody.
Right?
Yeah.
Cornelius.
He's a centurion. I don't know, but could have been the same guy. I mean, you know, obviously he sees this and he hears about Jesus, and now it could be the same.
How can you not witness something like this, be a part of this, be one of the guys who either nailed his hands to the cross or ordered the nails to be, he probably ordered, being in charge.
Yeah.
He oversaw everything, made sure it was done properly, but his soldiers probably did the, you know, did the actual nailing.
Yeah.
But he stood there and he watched, and he was responsible for this.
He was overseeing it.
To make sure that all three of these guys, you know, we talked about them last week, had, you know, criminal on one side, criminal on the other side, and Jesus here in the middle. And he looks at this and, you know, everything goes dark.
Whoa.
Jesus cries out, you know, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And then the centurion is watching him and breathes his last breath. How can you not be moved after witnessing something like that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's very clear sometimes to us. The Bible says your eyes are blinded. I think that's what happens to some people. They can have a miracle take place in there for them, but they're still blinded.
They still won't see it.
So it has to have to do something with spiritual eyesight that you actually, well, Jesus said the blind leading the blind, and these were spiritual should have been spiritual people, but they were the blind leading the blind. So I think it has to do with an openness. You know, if you have even a small desire for God, if you have just a spark in your life for your spiritual welfare, you should pursue that, because you should be happy, because there are some people that are so blinded, they don't have any desire at all for God, none.
No.
As a matter of fact, they're against God. They're not have anything to do with him. So if you've got any kind of desire, you should make your mind up. Say, I'm going to start seeking the Lord. Yeah. This is going to be my year to find the Lord and to seek his face, and just set your heart towards him.
It's wonderful when you open your heart up. You know, if you take a step toward him.
There it is.
Even if it's just saying, you know what? I'm just going to read the Bible.
That's it.
I'm just going to open the Bible, read it, and see what it says to me.
Exactly.
And when you take that step, God takes a step toward you.
He honors it.
You take another step toward him, he'll take another step toward you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good word for you that are hungering somewhere in your heart for some reality of life, and you've been trying to wonder what is it all about, and you're just feeling discouraged. Don't step backwards. Step forward, like Pastor Tim says. Amen. Make a move towards the spiritual father who loves you, and make a move towards him.
Yep.
And you'll find it'll be something you'll be happy you did.
It could be transforming for your life. Again.
Yeah. So when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. See, they didn't really see what happened.
They didn't, did they?
No, they didn't see.
Yeah.
They came to witness. They came and they saw, but they really didn't see.
Yeah.
Their eyes didn't see. The centurion, amazingly, he saw.
He did. His eyes were opened.
The other people were just overcome with grief, and they didn't understand it, didn't see it, see who it was.
They beat their breasts. What's going on here? You know?
Exactly.
I don't know. Just not opened up to the spiritual realm, just saying, we did what we said we would do.
Yep.
You know, I'm banging on my, you know, I'm King Kong, I'm whatever. I did what, you know, Tarzan, you know, I did my thing. Yes, we're victorious. We did it. He's dead.
Yeah.
And they went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were sad, and they went away. Yeah. But all those who knew him, I liked the way. See, now, first of all, the centurion recognized that he must have been a righteous man. Everybody else that's around now, they don't know who he is, and they're going away, beating their breasts in
just
sadness.
The witnesses,
But all those who knew him, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, and they're watching these things.
Yeah.
So they know who he is, and they're looking, and they're watching. They probably still don't understand the ramifications of it yet, but it's going to hit them.
Yeah.
It's going to get them.
They watch the centurion.
Yeah.
They see the look in his eye when Jesus breathes his last, and they see his eyes open like saucers. Oh, my goodness.
This is not a normal guy.
And then they see the other people beating their breasts and walking off, heads hung low, whatever. And they're back just a little bit, and they're observing all this and watching all this because their best friend, their leader, their teacher, their rabbi has just died. What do they do now? So they're standing back in the shadows. Maybe a little bit of afraid. They don't want to be associated with him, maybe because maybe they think they're going to be the next ones hung on the cross. Who knows? But they're observing all this, and they're watching all this, and they see it all take place.
Yeah, but the women we're going to find are probably more spiritual, because we're going to find them moving towards him, and they're watching this, and they're looking at it. Now, there was a man named Joseph. He was a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. In other words, when they said they were going to kill Jesus, he did not consent to that.
Yeah.
He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. So he had a heart set for God. He was seeking God. He had taken steps towards God, believing, like you mentioned before, he was waiting for the king to come.
Yeah.
So now he goes to Pilate, and he asks for the body of Jesus.
Just
amazing he's there.
Just reading that, you know, he was in the room when they were talking about arresting him. He was in the room when they were saying we're going to go to the garden and get him. He was in the room when Judas came in and they did the plea, and he did not consent to any of it. He didn't agree with their decisions. He didn't agree with their actions. And so in the end, when he witnessed all that happened on the cross, his eyes were opened. Somehow the stories from the Old Testament, the Word of God that he knew because he was a member of the council, the Holy Spirit must have mixed with that word that was in him and given him revelation to know that this was something special regarding the kingdom of God.
But you notice when we read it, he did something. He went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus.
He took that step.
He wanted to glorify God, took a step towards him, like you mentioned before, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's going to church, seeking the Lord, he takes that step. Yeah. Then he took it down, he says the body, he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth and placed it in a tomb cut in a rock in which no one had yet been laid. Yeah. So here, this man, Joseph of Arimathea, honors the Lord, puts him in a clean linen cloth, prepares him for a burial, and he puts him in a tomb that no one has ever been in.
Yeah.
Borrowed tomb.
I don't know if he knew it was only going to be used for a short time.
He's going to use it for a little while. Let me borrow it.
Yeah. Maybe he heard the words of Jesus, and he remembered, you know, kill this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. I don't know.
I don't know. You think somebody lends you their Ferrari?
You just
want it for a few
just
days?
Just for a few days.
Just want to borrow it for a resurrection experience? I want to drive it? Don't think so. No. But here, look at that. No. Shows you now, this man, he was definitely a follower because he's gonna do something for the Lord Jesus here by finding and putting him in a tomb that had never even been used, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, I don't know where you are today, but Pastor Tim and I would love to see you come visit Bethany Assembly. We'd love to see you come to one of our services. Our services are on Sunday morning. You can come to a 9 o'clock service with a choir, or you can come to an 11 o'clock service as a contemporary type of music. It's really more for the next generation, and you can come to a Wednesday night service. And you can come to a Wednesday night dinner if you're on at 5 o'clock. And come to dinner at 7. Come to church at 7 and have dinner. Come to church. Either way, you seek the Lord because it's time for you to find him.
Amen.
He's looking for you. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.